Wednesday to the Ungovernables, the captain's crew, the LFA family, McGroin Nation, coming to you live from the deep red state of Tennessee on rumble.com/LFATV. This is Ungoverned here at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. It's actually 10:02. Precision matters. 9:02 in the greatest time zone, the central time zone. Rolling, rocking, rocking, rolling on this hump day. 5 days to go until, it's still surreal to say, Donald Trump is the president of the United States again. It is still surreal to say. And we're going to go through the highlights of yesterday's hearing. Pete Hegseth has the votes. It sounds like the math is there. I didn't even see anybody dooming over it, which actually shocks me. You know, because usually there's someone on some corner of the internet that's like, no, this person's going to do that, and there's going to be a thing or something. Like, no, everyone's pretty confident after yesterday. And I'll say you should be confident after yesterday. Pete Hegseth completely and totally dominated that hearing. We played an hour's worth of it on this show yesterday morning. And we'll be checking in on Pam Bondi's hearing this morning. There's a bunch that are happening right now, but Bondi is the one that seems to be garnering the most attention. So we'll be checking in on that periodically. We'll break in and out of it a few times just so we could test it. Let's test to make sure that hearing's working.
Helping to combat the widespread misuse and trafficking of deadly drugs, including fentanyl.
Okay, so we'll be checking in with that all morning. Pam Bondi's hearing, Attorney General. She shouldn't have too many problems with the confirmation. But Pete Hegseth yesterday dominated. He owned it. He was confident. He was calm. He was cool. He was collected. And Joni Ernst came out and reaffirmed her support for Pete Hegseth. He has the votes. Even if Murkowski and Collins decide they're going to play games, he will have the votes. And I wouldn't count out the next Pope of Greenland, John Fetterman. I wouldn't count him out. It's weird to say that, right? You know, we used to talk that way about Joe Manchin, right? Oh, is Joe Manchin going to vote one way? Is Joe Manchin going to vote another? I would not count out Fetterman at this point. And maybe there's a few others that we're not accounting for in the Senate that will vote for Pete Hegseth. But he seems to be the most, if you want to call it, label it controversial. Ooh, scary word. He seems to be the most controversial of the cabinet picks right now. After that would be, I guess, Tulsi and RFK in no particular order. But Bondi should get through no problem. Kash Patel should get through no problem. So we should have, we should really have no issues now going forward with the confirmation process with all of Trump's appointees, according to Politico, which, you know, they take no pride in putting good news out there about Donald Trump. So, you know, I am very optimistic about what we are going to see, and very optimistic about the rest of the process going forward. And, you know, why don't we just take a moment to recognize and be thankful, right, I guess, for the fact that the party of DEI, the party that told us that qualifications are racist and a product of the patriarchy, and that asking for qualifications and relevant work experience was linked to white supremacy and was oppressive and all of those other words, bigoted and intolerant, right? The party that told us qualifications didn't matter, but race and gender and sexual orientation did matter. Well, that party is now back to caring about quote-unquote qualifications after yesterday's hearing with Pete Hegseth. How many times did they call him unqualified? Okay, my question would be, what makes Pete Buttigieg qualified to be the transportation secretary. What makes Dr. Richard, who goes by Rachel Levine, qualified to be an assistant at HHS? Nothing. What made Sam Brinton qualified to be the nuclear waste guru, other than looking like someone who has been exposed to more than enough nuclear waste over the course of his life? That's the luggage guy. Remember the luggage? He steals the luggage. He looks like Sid from Toy Story. So the party that told us that qualifications were evil. You cannot use qualifications. Right? That party was then was telling us yesterday over and over, repeating the line, oh, I don't think you're qualified to be the Secretary of Defense. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. That's coming from the party that has literally hired the most unqualified people for important roles. It's not like you hired an unqualified janitor. You could teach people how to use a broom. You can't really teach a guy how to be an effective transportation secretary. Lloyd Austin. Oh, transparency. I don't remember which one it was. I think it was one of the Democrat senators. It may have been the space cadet, Senator Kelly out of Arizona, talking about how transparency would be instrumental. It's required as a defense secretary. Just completely ignoring the fact that the current defense secretary, Lloyd Austin, went missing for a while. I get it. He was receiving cancer treatment, and I hope that he recovers, and I hope that he beats cancer, and I hope that he wins his battle with prostate cancer. I don't wish it on anybody. Doesn't change the fact that Lloyd Austin just disappeared. Didn't tell anyone. So transparency didn't matter when it was him. But now, because Pete Hegseth decided he didn't want to waste his time on Capitol Hill meeting with Democrat senators who were already not going to vote for him anyway, now transparency is an issue too. And say what you want about Mark Wayne Mullen. He's not the best. He's not the greatest. He's not always our friend. He's a little wishy-washy at times. But he had the moment of the hearing yesterday, I believe. And we're going to play a couple of the highlights. Some of the Karen squad yelling at Pete Hegseth yesterday, and then some of the Republican senators who were questioning Pete Hegseth yesterday. We'll get to those highlights. We'll check in on Bondi's hearing. I do want to talk about the potential cause of the California wildfires, because we didn't get a chance to talk about that yesterday. I had that planned yesterday, but we went to the Hegseth hearing instead, which is okay. And everything in between. Now, Donald Trump, the External Revenue Service. How about that? That was pretty cool, that announcement yesterday. The External Revenue Service. I think that's a step in the right direction. As long as those steps continue to lead us to the complete and total abolition of the IRS. And to that, I take a sip of tea. Throat coat. Named after Kamala Harris's favorite activity. Just kidding. All right, let's rock and roll. Let's get to a word from our friends over at OFP Farms before we get into the highlights from yesterday's hearing. Pete Hegseth has the votes. This is very exciting. It seems like, and just, so what happens now in this process is these nominees are put in front of a committee, usually the committee that pertains to their position. So Hegseth, Secretary of Defense, he goes in front of the Armed Services Committee. Pam Bondi, Department of Justice, Attorney General, she's in front of the Judiciary Committee. And what will happen is those committees, after the hearing and a certain period of time, after they can review the record, those committees will then vote on whether or not to move the nominee forward to a full vote in front of the Senate. It is expected that Hegseth will obviously move through this committee, the Armed Services Committee, in that first vote. He will then go to the Senate for a full vote, and he will be confirmed with probably 52-plus votes, maybe more. That's why I said plus. That's what plus means. Any liberals out there like, well, plus is a plus. Okay, plus means more. Okay, let's move over to a friend, our friends over at OFP Farms. I saw Liz Ellis in the chat saying her OFP Farms soap is incredible. She used it this morning. And just when you thought OFP Farms couldn't get any better, Behold their lavish and gorgeous inauguration 2025 box. We are 5 days away. 5 days away from Donald Trump taking office yet again. This is the inauguration box. All sorts of stuff specially geared to celebrate and commemorate Donald Trump's inauguration as the 47th president of the United States. Experience the epitome of style with this exclusive gift set. The brand new gift box is luxurious.
It is beautiful. You know what I'm talking about. It's very beautiful. It's a beautiful box. It's sophisticated, and in other words, it's one of a kind. It's a great box. Nobody's ever seen a better box.
Indulge in these brand new exclusive fragrances that will ignite your senses and leave you feeling revitalized. But hurry, this is a limited edition box set. It's not going to last forever. So order now. Go to OFPFarms.com, right? You see it on your screen. Order now at OFPFarms.com. OFP Farms is offering 4 free Tumblr President Trump stickers and a free Triumph soap with the purchase of the 2025 inauguration box while supplies last. Just go to OFPFarms.com, use the promo code Sean, it's my name, S-H-A-W-N, for 15% off. OFPFarms.com, promo code Sean for 15% off. OFPFarms.com, promo code Sean for 15% off of the inauguration box and anything on the website. But if you order that inauguration box now, you obviously get those throw-ins, right? Those giveaways, the 4 Tumblr stickers and the free Triumph soap with the purchase of the inauguration box while supplies last. All right. Here we go. Let's roll into, let's take a look. Let's take a quick look at Pam Bondi's hearing right now as that is underway in the Senate.
Questions today and working together for this country and our Constitution. Thank you, senators.
I will ask first questions, and Senator Durbin, and then I'll call on the Democrat people the way that...
All right, it looks like that was her opening statement. We caught like the last couple of words of her opening statement. So we'll check back in with that in just a moment. Before we do that, I want to talk to you about the hearing yesterday. Obviously, Pete Hegseth, he's got the votes. It's very exciting. Also, an announcement today. We're going to be lowering the threshold for regular Mo today. The threshold for regular Mo is 400 rumbles today, okay? So if we can get to 400, you get regular. If we can get to 500, there is a special guest that will join us live today. So more incentive to get us to 500 likes. We're at 272. We're not even halfway through yet. So make sure that you're encouraging every last person in here to get us to 500 live, because I want to show you our brand new special guest. Betty likes our brand new special guest. Yeah, Betty's a big fan of our brand new special. Hit the thumbs up button if you're watching on Rumble, if you're watching over on X. I don't have a quota for you guys. I don't have a quota for you guys over there on X. So anyway, and Regina wants to know, it's OFP Farms. OFP Farms, not OAP. Old Fashioned Polly. Oscar Foxtrot Papa. The one time I don't do the phonetic, somebody didn't hear what I was saying. So, OF, Oscar Foxtrot, Papa Farms. Okay, everybody Rumble, you will see a special guest if we get to 500 live today, and I think you're going to love it. All right, let's get into it. John Thune confirms yesterday, the Senate Majority Leader, this was played on CNN, which is great to watch their faces melt. Jake Tapper over on CNN. As John Thune confirms, Pete Hegseth has the votes after yesterday's rock-solid performance in his confirmation hearing. Take a look.
Hearing from senators now that the Hegseth hearing is done.
The expectation that he will get confirmed. In fact, I just asked Senator John Thune, who is the Republican leader, the majority leader, decides the schedule of the United States Senate. I asked him about Hegseth's nomination. Thune has not said a ton about this nomination. I said, does he have any concerns about these allegations of sexual assault that Hegseth has denied but came up in today's hearing, about these allegations of misconduct and the like? And he indicated he does not. According to Thune, he said that Hegseth acquitted himself extremely well, and that he plans to move very quickly on this nomination, and is moving quickly. We expect the Senate Armed Services Committee to have a vote as soon as Monday, Inauguration Day. That is according to the chairman of the committee, Roger Wicker, who told me that he believes that he'll get the support of all Republicans and be able to push this through.
John Thune says he's got the votes. Not only does John Thune say he has the votes, but yesterday, Iowa Senator Joni Ernst, who, in my opinion, we got to keep a close eye on. In my opinion, you know what? If there's a chance to upgrade at the position, by all means, put her through a primary. But here's what Joni Ernst said yesterday after the Hegseth confirmation hearing, that she is a yes. She is a yes. She will confirm Pete Hegseth as the next Secretary of Defense.
So to have someone that is willing to cut through that and get back to where we're focusing on readiness for our men and women, because, you know, Simon, that's an important part for me, is that we recognize that women do have an important role in our military. And so he was adequately able to answer all of my questions. He pointed out the woke issues at the Pentagon. And I think we're at a point where now we can start moving forward. People know where he stands on these issues.
Yep.
So I felt it was a good hearing.
I thought it was a good hearing for him. Does he have your vote?
I am breaking news, Simon. I figured you would ask this. So, yes, I will be supporting President Trump's pick for Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth.
There it is. Joni Ernst will be supporting Pete Hegseth. She was a stick in the mud. You know, if you want to play devil's advocate, she was just doing her due diligence. I don't believe that. I do believe that she originally did not want to vote for him. And I also believe that the public pressure that was mounted on her, as well as sitting down and speaking with Pete Hegseth, I do believe those two things shifted her position. And that is the will of the people doing the people's work. That is what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to get in touch with our representatives and tell them how we want to be represented. I always equate it to, you know, when you go out to eat, go out to dinner, and you order a steak, and the waiter or waitress asks you, how would you like that cooked? You don't just say, whatever, and you dismiss them. And then when they bring out a steak that tastes like a rubber tire, you get pissed off, right? Of course not. No, you tell them what you want, and they give you what you want. Look at your representatives the same way. Okay, think about this whole system as if whatever they're doing is made to order. You tell them what you want. They are supposed to serve you. Now, not just you. What I want may be different than what other people in Tennessee want. However, if I would like to organize a coalition of people here in Tennessee to call Marsha Blackburn or Bill Hagerty or folks in Tennessee's 5th District, we call Andy Ogles and we talk to them about what we would like, and they start to feel that kind of they hear that same message. They hear those same wishes and demands and desires over and over and over again, right? There are strength in numbers, right? That's why it's important to organize within your communities, within your districts, within your states, and set up these campaigns to reach out to your representatives, to let your representatives know how you would like to be represented. It's pretty easy. It's simple stuff. It takes time. It's not the most fun thing to do. It's cumbersome, it's tedious, but it works. But it works. Okay? It definitely works. Now, yesterday, the Senate Democrats absolutely made a fool of themselves yesterday with Pete Hegseth. And their hypocrisy was put on complete and total display. And we're going to start here with Tammy Duckworth, where she just badgered him. And look, I give Pete Hegseth a lot of credit. If someone like that was talking like that to me, I would have started throwing things. This is why I'm not working in the cabinet, okay? Tammy Duckworth is talking to Pete Hegseth here and just shouting him down, cutting him off, badgering him, treating him like crap. You could tell she was having her "I am woman, hear me roar" moment, right? She was behaving like an HOA Karen and honestly behaving like somebody who knew that they were losing and were throwing a last-ditch Hail Mary to prevent that loss. This was embarrassing yesterday. Senator Duckworth ought to be ashamed of herself. Watch this.
Have you led an audit of any organization? Yes or no? I don't want a long answer. Yes or no? Have you led an audit of any organization of which you were in charge?
Senator, in both of the organizations I ran, we were always completely fiscally responsible.
Yes or no, did you lead an audit?
And the way
my leadership
has been
stated, yes or no, did you lead an audit? Yes or no?
Completely mischaracterized.
What are you afraid of? You can't answer this question. Yes or no, did you lead an audit? Do you not know this answer?
Senator, every part of my leadership of these organizations has been misrepresented.
I will take that as a no. What were the findings? So there were no findings because you've never led an audit. What guidance did you give the auditors? None, because you've never led an audit. Nobody expects you to be an accountant, Mr. Hegseth. What we expect is for you to understand the complexity of this Pentagon budget process that is absolutely necessary to outfit our warfighters.
Okay, if nobody is expecting you to be an accountant, then why are you peppering him with questions about whether or not he led an audit? Why? Because Pete Hegseth believes we need to more responsibly allocate funds within the Pentagon? Is there anything wrong with that thought process? What a total joke. A total joke. But that wasn't the worst part. I think the most embarrassing moment yesterday, Kirsten Gillibrand was bad. Duckworth was bad. Maisie Hirono was, I mean, come on, Maisie Hirono. Hawaii, he got to do better. My goodness. But Pete Hegseth, absolutely, he might be indicted for this, actually. He might be indicted for an assault against an indigenous person, Pete Hegseth. This is an assault against a so-called indigenous person. The next time Pete Hegseth stares across the aisle at Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren, she may be in war paint. That's how mad she is. I heard she almost broke out into a tribal war dance during this encounter. Ha, ho, wa, he, ha, ho, ho, ho. Right, like from Finding Nemo. Welcome to the summit of Mount Wanahakalugi. Pete Hegseth, potentially under indictment now for an attack on an indigenous person or a so-called indigenous person, Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, who is now putting on war paint as we speak. Apparently this line of questioning, it looked better when she was sending it up via smoke signal than when it came out of her mouth. This was the most embarrassing moment for the Democrats, in my opinion, in yesterday's confirmation hearing with Pete Hegseth. And Hegseth handled this about as good as anybody could have handled it. Watch.
In other words, you're quite sure that every general who serves should not go directly into the defense industry for 10 years. But you're not willing to make that same pledge?
I'm not a general, Senator.
You'll be the one, let us just be clear, in charge of the generals.
Ooh. I think Pocahontas needs a beer. That was brutal. And you see the smirk? He was like, yeah, I owned you. You weren't getting one past me, Pokey. It wasn't happening. Pocahontas displaying her stupidity for all to see. And the whole room laughed. The whole room laughed. I thought that was amazing. I thought that was one of my, that was probably my favorite moment. Folks, 12 rumbles away from Mo, so we're almost there. 12 likes away from Mo and 112 likes away from our special guest today. Our new addition. Sophie, oh my goodness, look at these comments about Pocahontas. She should get her bow and arrow. Good thing most of them wear diapers. Chief Liawatha. How that slap feels. Perfect. She was humiliated. You could see she had to hold back her laugh. Completely and totally humiliated. Pokey was completely and totally humiliated there. All right. Adding to the humiliation. We'll do that one last. I want to pivot to this because, you know, this is, again, the party of DEI, right? The Democrat Party. Let's think of this, right? The Democrat Party, the party of DEI, the party that believes that qualifications are racist, the party that believes that gender and race and sexual orientation are more important qualifications than experience, merit, ability, etc. That party decided yesterday that they no longer believe in that and that real qualifications actually matter again. And then they pretended that Pete Hegseth, a combat veteran, Bronze Star recipient, I believe two-time Bronze Star recipient, was somehow unqualified for Secretary of Defense when he's probably the most qualified nominee for Secretary of Defense that we've seen in decades. Here is, I think it's Missouri. Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt. Very smart guy. Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt. He has been leading the charge against the vaccine mandates in the military for years. He's been leading the charge against DEI in the military for years. And I want to show you what Pete Hegseth had to say about DEI in the military. This is shredding the party of DEI. This is completely exposing how dangerous and destructive and toxic and degenerate DEI actually is. Shout out to Senator Senator Schmidt. And shout out to Pete Hegseth for handling this one perfectly. This is exactly what we need out of our next Secretary of Defense. DEI in the military has to go. Everywhere DEI leaves a trail, it leaves a trail of destruction. Everywhere. Every time. Watch this.
How are you going to fix it?
Well, Senator, thank you for the question. First and foremost, up front, you have to tear out DEI and CRT initiatives root and branch out of institutions.
100%.
And then you have to put in Army, Navy, and Air Force secretaries and others, civilian positions at the helm, who are committed to the same priorities that the President of the United States is, and if confirmed, the Secretary of Defense will be. Send a clear message that this is not a time for equity. Equity is a very different word than equality. Equality is the bedrock of our military. Men and women, duty positions in uniform, black, white, doesn't matter. We treat you equally based on who you are in the image of God as an individual. And we all get the same bad haircuts. You're not an individual. You're part of a group. Equity prescribes some sort of an outcome based on differing attributes that we have that divide us. What skin color are you? What gender are you? And then infuse that into institutions which manifest in things like quotas, formal or informal, which does what to morale? Sends it in the tubes, and it makes people feel like they're being judged by something other than how good they are at their job, which is poisonous inside institutions.
So on top of this recruiting crisis,
there it was. That is the exact, I could not have said it better myself about DEI. When you take real qualifications and you sub them out for these superficial qualifications, right? When you take ability, experience, skill, talent, right? When you take those qualifications and you sub them out for race, gender, ethnicity, orientation, right? When you do that, you create a race to the bottom. Right? You, instead of finding the best of the best, you decide that finding the best isn't anymore, it's no longer important. And you instead just try and check off boxes, and as Pete Hegseth said, whether it's formal quotas or informal quotas, you're now thinking and evaluating people through the lens of diversity, equity, and inclusion instead of skill and merit and experience. And that's a problem. And that's how you create this race to the bottom. And that's how you create a lesser and lesser effective fighting force or business or institution, whatever line of work you're in. If you're a sports team that no longer decides you want to hire the best players at positions that you have vacancies in, but you instead want to hire based off of looks or orientation or ethnicity or religion or whatever. Okay, that's how you wind up hiring worse players. If I was the general manager of a baseball team and I had a vacancy at first base, I don't care if my next first baseman is a white first baseman, a black first baseman, a Japanese first baseman, a Latino first baseman, a Canadian first baseman, an Australian first. I don't care where they come from. Are they the best option to put in at that position offensively and defensively? Can they hit? Can they get on base? Can they field their position? Are they durable? Do they get hurt a lot? Do they not get hurt a lot? Are they a good teammate? Do they have certain intangibles? Are they a five-tool player, etc.? Are they a good baseball player? Period. That's what I want to know. I don't care what they look like, height, weight, religion, diet, you know, ethnicity, birthplace. I don't care about any of that. It doesn't matter. I'm looking for a good baseball player. So I'm going to go and find the best of the best and put that guy or gal, not in Major League Baseball. Women don't play in Major League Baseball unless you count, you know, Jose Bautista or whoever, you know, in Major League Baseball right now as a female. Some of them act like ladies, but that's okay. You know, I'm not looking for that superficial crap. I'm looking for the best of the best because that makes my team better. Okay? I'm not hiring subpar because eventually, if you continue to do that and you've stacked a roster full of subpar players, you have what? A subpar team. And that's not what anybody wants. Speaking of this, well, not speaking of subpar, but I know we're past 400. So here's Mo. We're honking our hedgehogs today. Okay? And how far are we from our special guest now? We are... It looks like 75 or so away. Is that what I'm seeing? Yeah. So we're 75 likes away from our special guest. Plenty of time to hit it. Don't disappoint me, folks. 73. Hit that thumbs up button if you're watching the show. 1,400 of you watching right now. Thank you so much for being here. Hit the thumbs up. Give us a like. 75 away. I see you down there. I know you want to come out. Our special guest is down there. We're so close. Okay, here is Senator Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma. And again, I know, look, this kind of, some folks like, well, I thought he was one of the bad ones. Well, he was with the Gates confirmation, and I don't believe he voted for Rick Scott. So is he our friend all the time? No. But what do we do on the show? If you do something good, and I believe that you have highlighted either hypocrisy amongst the left or you're advancing the political football well for our side, we're going to give you a hat tip. We're going to give you a round of applause. And I think what Mark Wayne Mullen did yesterday was exceptional in that hearing. And the reason why I think it was exceptional, okay, you saw the reaction of some of the senators in the room when he was doing this. Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma highlighting that, yeah, okay, Pete Hegseth isn't perfect, but neither are any of you in the room. And this, to me, was the moment of the hearing yesterday that really set the tone going forward and that really pushed the ball over the goal line for Pete Hegseth. And not just Hegseth, but potentially all of Trump's cabinet nominees, because, again, the Democrat Party is harping on imperfections as if they've never made a mistake before. They're harping on, you know, past statements, past, you know, vices and things that folks may have given into from time to time, as if they've never made a mistake. And Mark Wayne Mullen said, all right, well, if you're going to hold Pete Hegseth to those high standards, do you pass your own test? And the answer to that question is no. This was brilliant from Mark Wayne Mullen, who is not always our friend, who is not always somebody we like to applaud. But he did a fantastic job with this yesterday and deserves the recognition. So let's take a look at what I believe was the moment of the hearing yesterday.
...of the Secretary of Defense is, because I Googled it, and I Googled it and went through a lot of different sites, and really it's hard to see. But in general, the U.S. Secretary of Defense position is filled by a civilian. That's it. If you have served in the U.S. Army Forces... And I've been in the service for, you have to be retired for at least 7 years, and Congress can weigh that. And then there's questions that the senator from Massachusetts brought up about serving on a board inside the military industry. And yet your own secretary that you all voted for, Secretary Austin, we had to vote on a waiver because he stepped off the board of Raytheon. But I guess that's okay because that's a Democrat Secretary of Defense. But you so quickly forget about that. And then Senator Kaine, or I guess I better use the senator from Virginia, starts bringing up the fact that what if you showed up drunk to your job? How many senators have showed up drunk to vote at night? Have any of you guys asked them to step down and resign from their job? And don't tell me you haven't seen it, because I know you have. And then how many senators do you know have got a divorce before cheating on their wives? Did you ask them to step down? No. But it's for show. You guys make sure you make a big show and point out the hypocrisy, because a man's made a mistake. And you want to sit there and say that he's not qualified? Give me a joke. I mean, it is so ridiculous that you guys hold yourself as this higher standard and you forget you got a big plank in your eye. We've all made mistakes. I've made mistakes. And Jennifer, thank you for loving him through that mistake. Because the only reason why I'm here and not in prison is because my wife loved me too.
Mark Wayne Mullen, say what we want about him, criticize him when necessary. But that was a great moment in the hearing. And I have no complaints over what he did. I think that was a fantastic moment. It highlighted the complete and total hypocrisy on the left. We've been saying it for years. The left never passes its own tests. And they went to war against cultural appropriation, right? And you have people like Elizabeth Warren, who her entire career lied about her ethnicity to achieve positions and promotions and enhance her career. Elizabeth Warren today, Pocahontas, Chief Liawatha. All right. Elizabeth Warren today is still the only human being that I know who ever failed the DNA test, or maybe the people who kept claiming to be the Duchess Anastasia, right? The lost Romanov. The people who failed those DNA tests too. Maybe that was some of the other people in humanity who failed. You're not supposed to be able to fail a DNA test. It tells you where you came from, what your genetic makeup is. But her whole thing was, well, I'm a Native American because my papaw said I have high cheekbones. Oh, your papaw said that. Oh, okay, great. Cultural appropriation is bad when other people do it, but not when Elizabeth Warren does it? Seriously? 1/1024th? You took a DNA test that you knew you were going to fail? And failed it. Did you expect it to come back saying something different, even though you knew you were never Native? And she was never held accountable for that. Never. I mean, it's arguable that what she did was fraud. Not held accountable for it. Not held accountable for it. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's go to the LFA TV store, right? LFATV.us, LFATV.us. Let's take a look at the LFA TV store. We're 5 days away from Inauguration Day, ladies and gentlemen. Check out the LFA TV store, LFA TV merch here. As I was saying, you got the shirt from the return to Butler. The Trump fans' flags are still there. January 22nd, just 2 days after the inauguration, it's going to get cold throughout the entire continental United States. The polar vortex is coming. Old man winter is headed our way. And so I would encourage everybody to head over to the LFA TV store, pick up some of those winter caps, because it's going to get cold, and it's going to get real cold real fast. LFATV.us, use the promo code REDWAVE, REDWAVE, to save 20% off of your entire purchase. Promo code REDWAVE, REDWAVE, LFATV.us, LFATV.us, click on the store tab. You can also donate to LFA TV by clicking on the donate tab on the website as well. That's LFATV.us or JeremyHerrell.com. Give it a look when the show is over. We greatly appreciate it. Let's check back in with Pam Bondi and the hearing happening right now in a Senate committee hearing, a Senate committee room, sorry. That would be the Senate Judiciary Committee currently having their confirmation hearing with Attorney General nominee Pam Bondi.
The law. None of us are above the law. Let me give you a really good example of a bad lawyer within the Justice Department, a guy named Klein Smith, who altered a FISA warrant, one of the most important things we can do in this country. So will everyone be held to an equal, fair system of justice if I am the next Attorney General? Absolutely. And no one is above the law.
Under what circumstances will you prosecute journalists for what they write?
I believe in the freedom of speech. Only if anyone commits a crime. It's pretty basic, Senator, with anything, with any victim. And this goes back to my entire career for 18 years as a prosecutor and then 8 years as Florida's Attorney General. You find the facts of the case. You apply the law in good faith. And you treat everyone fairly.
And it would not be appropriate for a prosecutor to start with a name and look for a crime. It's a prosecutor's job to start with a crime and look for a name, correct?
Senator, I think that is the whole problem with the weaponization that we have seen the last 4 years and what's been happening to Donald Trump. They targeted Donald Trump. They went after him. Actually, starting back in 2016, they targeted his campaign. They have launched countless investigations against him. That will not be the case if I am Attorney General. I will not politicize that office. I will not target people simply because of their political affiliation. Justice will be administered even-handedly throughout this country. Senator, we've got to bring this country back together. We've got to move forward, or we're going to lose our country.
Yeah, I think the concern is that weaponization of the Justice Department may well occur under your tenure, and we want to make sure that that's not the case.
Of course you want. Is that Sheldon Whitehouse? He does a Nancy Pelosi impersonation every time he does. Sheldon Whitehouse! I love these people who are saying we want to prevent weaponization when we just lived through 4 freaking years of weaponization of the Justice Department. Look at the J6ers. Look at what they did to Donald Trump. Parents at school board meetings. Pro-life activists. Gun rights activists. Meme makers. These Democrats who want to talk about, well, we want to prevent the weaponization of government. And we don't want Pam Bondi to weaponize it. You, Jack Smith, Christopher Wray, you guys went into Donald Trump's house. You raided his wife's panty drawer. You had FBI agents at school board meetings snooping around, making sure everything was on the up and up. Are you kidding me with this weaponization line of questioning? It's unbelievable. Excuse me. I get worked up. I'm still not done coughing things. There's aliens that are coming out of my throat every day. ET phone home is back. It's unbelievable. Never seen so much. It's insane. I just can't take it. I can't take it. Well, Pam Bondi obviously handled that question very well. And no, I don't want to see the Justice Department go after people for the sake of going after people. I want retribution just like everybody else. If crimes were committed, and we know that in several cases, crimes were committed. Those crimes need to be investigated and prosecuted, 100%. But what I don't want to see is the Department of Justice targeting liberals because they're liberals. They're allowed to be liberals. I don't like it, but they're allowed to be liberals. Being a liberal is not against the law, okay? Voting Democrat, unfortunately, is not against... It shouldn't be against the law. I don't want to even say unfortunately. I don't want to see people targeted. I don't want to see names investigated for crimes because I just lived that. We just lived all of that. I don't want to see that. But someone like Lion Liz Cheney, who absolutely tampered with a witness before she went under oath, Cassidy Hutchinson, needs to be investigated and prosecuted, or else you are setting the precedent that it is okay. Remember the dog on the rug theory, right? Your dog pees or poops on a rug. If you don't discipline the dog, if you don't explain and set the standard and set the expectation and make it clear that that behavior is not okay, it sets the precedent that that behavior is acceptable because there were no consequences. And it's going to happen again. That's what the DOJ needs to look like. We don't need reckless prosecutions targeting people because of their political views. Some people are like, go after all of them. I don't care what they did. Well, then you're just as bad as the left. I'm sorry, but you are. Go after the ones that committed the crimes. We know who they are. We don't have to cook up anything. There are a lot of wrongdoers out there. That's what we need to do. We don't need to make the problem worse. Punish the lawbreakers. We're 13 likes away from our special guest. We're 13 likes away from our special guest. So, 11. Now we're 11. As we're counting down. We need like a CNN ticker on the screen. We're 11 away. All right. I want to get to this because I think this is very, very important. The California wildfires obviously is it's still a topic of conversation. They are getting it under control now, but it never should have gotten this bad. There is a consensus developing around what they believe the ignition source was. And it does look like it was human activity. Now, was it out of malice? Was it out of carelessness? I don't know. I can't say. Nobody can say. You know, arson is definitely a problem in California. But arson investigators from the ATF, the Los Angeles Police Department, and the Los Angeles Fire Department converged at a suspected origin site of the deadly Palisades fire on Monday afternoon a couple of days ago. And apparently this is an area, Via La Costa, adjacent to the Skull Rock Trailhead. A group of men had been hanging out before the fire started. Multiple people in that group posted video to social media. And while their original posts have been deleted, the videos had already been saved. It's very important to understand what led to this fire becoming a massive, massive problem. There was apparently a fire that was addressed and put out by the Los Angeles Fire Department on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, 6 days prior to when the massive fire broke out. And anybody who's ever dealt with fires, I've been camping, it's your worst nightmare. You know, when you have your campfire and you put it out, you need to aggress. And it's, look, a campfire is a small thing. You don't need, it's not a huge brush fire. I understand that. But every time, you know, when we would put out our campfires before we would go to sleep, one of my biggest fears was, oh, if we don't make sure that every single ember is out, one of those embers could lift up out of that smoldering pile of ash and char, and it could land on our tent. It could burn our whole tent down. It could burn our whole campsite down. It could start a really big problem. And apparently with the Los Angeles Fire Department, they did not do these types of checks after putting out a brush fire that was started on New Year's Eve. A new theory on what started the California wildfires has emerged as authorities have gathered evidence and are coming closer to seeing what started the largest of the fires, the Palisades fire. The Washington Post reports that the source of the fire could have been the remnants of a fire that first responders put out a week beforehand but did not track afterwards. Analysis of photos, video, satellite imagery, and radio communications, as well as interviews with witnesses, offers new evidence that the Palisades fire started in the area where firefighters had spent hours using helicopters to knock down a blaze 6 days earlier. There had been a wildfire on New Year's Eve that authorities had to come and put out, and officials had been speaking to residents of that area to see what sparked the Palisades fire. The outlet analysis suggests that high winds could have reignited the embers or remnants from the older fire just days earlier. Obviously, with each passing day, it makes it less and less likely that those embers could survive. But if you're not actively checking up on it, if you're not actively checking for live embers, it is very possible that high winds could reignite that. I mean, if you've ever had a struggling campfire and you get down and you start blowing on it to bring the embers back to life, to reignite that fire, picture that happening on a massive scale, and you have what's happening in California. What does this mean? It means the Los Angeles Fire Department failed in their duty to make sure that they adequately put out that brush fire. They failed. They did not take it seriously. They did not abide by very basic foundational rules of fire safety. And it resulted that oversight, that overlooking that carelessness, if you want to put it that way, that's what it is, resulted in one of the worst wildfires in California history. It's a problem. It's DEI. You know, Redneck 1776, I have coals in my wood stove days after. And then Groen says it was Stacey Abrams' thigh friction. Okay. No, she's the beast of the Southeast, not the beast of the Midwest. All right, we got to do a special guest. Carol sent this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Carol the cowgirl.
Carol the cowgirl. No, I didn't want to. Carol the cowgirl sent us a package. So you all know Mo, right? This is regular Mo. And we have Santa Mo, which was, he was our holiday Mo. He doesn't like to talk. He's shy. This is Big Mama Chris Christie Mo. This thing is enormous. So, and there's squeakers all over this thing in the feet. Right? There's... I bet the cat's... Where's the... Here, this is big. This is Chris Christie, and this is regular Mo, right? I mean, it's not even close. There are so many hedgehogs. It's like we have a wildlife preserve. So this is our new, and Betty loves that thing, okay? That is our new, our new special guest, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you to Carol the Cowgirl. And that Mo has garnered his own, like, lore. Like, he's like, we have a spinoff show, just have a camera just focused on Mo the whole time. He'd probably get... You know, he'd probably get the 500 likes sooner than we did, by the way. But anyway, thank you so much. Keep hitting the keep hitting that thumbs up button. It really helps us. We appreciate it. Thanks for all your support. I want to break into one more thing before we before we're done for the day, and it is this this news of the External Revenue Service. Donald Trump announces the External Revenue Service to collect foreign tariffs, duties, don't laugh, and revenue. You know, I'm 5 years old as well. I do think the word duty is funny because it is, funny. But this is the External Revenue Service, and I happen to like this a lot, and I would be totally fine with tariffs replacing the federal income tax. I would be totally fine with tariffs replacing the federal income tax. If that's where this is going, then this is going in an incredibly, incredibly great direction. Let me explain something. So we already pay a sales tax on everything we buy. We already pay a sales tax, right? And we already pay an income tax on everything we make. And then you can see all the other taxes and fees, court fees, and this tax and that tax, and you breathe too much tax, and there's a congestion tax in New York now. It's there's taxes on everything, okay? How about you leave our income alone, stop taxing me on every dollar I make, and instead, if you want to use tariffs instead of an income tax, that's fine, because now you're essentially only taxing me on anything I consume. They say, well, the tariffs are going to raise prices. Yes, and we're going to counteract the increase of prices by getting rid of the federal income tax. If we're going down the road of the External Revenue Service, I'm all for it. As long as that, results in the end of the federal income tax. What I don't want is tariffs increasing the cost of things and the federal government still taking my money. No, hell no. Hell no. One or the other, not both. Because if it's both, we go bankrupt. We have no money. That's it. You know, everything that comes in from outside of our country costs more, and the federal government is still reaching into my pocket and taking money off of the paycheck. Well, that's not acceptable either, right? If both of those things are happening at once. So it's got to be one or the other. And I hope that this External Revenue Service, is a step towards abolishing the Internal Revenue Service. Donald Trump says, quote, for far too long, we have relied on taxing our great people using the Internal Revenue Service. Through soft and pathetically weak trade agreements, the American economy has delivered growth and prosperity to the world while taxing ourselves. It is time for that to change. I am today announcing that I will create the External Revenue Service to collect our tariffs, duties, and all revenue that come from foreign sources. We will begin charging those that make money off of us with trade, and they will start paying, finally, their fair share. January 20th, 2025 will be the birth date of the External Revenue Service. Make America Great Again. And as long as that external revenue service, as long as the implementation of tariffs, as long as that results in the end of the federal income tax, I'm all for it. I don't know if the government's ever going to vote or allow themselves to stop taking our money. But this is the closest that we've come in probably decades to that happening. And so I'm all for it if that's the direction that we're going in. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for watching and listening as always. We can take one more quick peek at Pam Bondi, see what's going on over on Capitol Hill. Oh, there she is, Klobuchar.
The department has the duty to defend an act of Congress whenever a reasonable argument can be made in its support. So I'm specifically referring to the 2022 law that I long led that we passed to empower Medicare to negotiate drug prices, major savings for seniors. Will you commit to defend the law against the lawsuits from Big Pharma?
Senator, I was involved in Big Pharma cases when I was Attorney General of the state of Florida, and I will commit to protect the laws of the United States of America.
Okay, thank you. That would also, same question with the...
It's hard to listen to Klobuchar speak. Thank you so much for watching and listening, ladies and gentlemen. Jeremy Harrell coming up next with Live from America at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, going all the way to 1 o'clock. Thanks again for watching and listening. Keep it locked on LFA TV all day long. We'll be breaking in and out of hearings and breaking the news of the day. We are 5 days away from inauguration. Still surreal that we're that close to having Donald Trump as the president of the United States again. As President Trump would say, we will never give up. We will never give in. We will never, ever surrender. And if all else fails, we will just become ungovernable. Thank you. God bless you. God bless this one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I hope you have a tremendous rest of your Wednesday. I do believe that I will be on with Misfit tonight at 8:30 p.m. Central Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. As you know, he's been lighting the world on fire with all this Andrew Tate stuff. That guy is a scumbag, and I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about tonight with Misfit. So don't miss that. We'll be on 8:30 Central tonight as well. Thanks again for watching and listening. Hit that thumbs up button on the way out. Follow us anywhere you get your podcasts. Give us a subscription over there. It's completely free. Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Hit that subscribe button. It takes absolutely no time. It costs absolutely nothing. It just helps us spread the word, as does hitting that like button on the show before you go. Stick around on LFA TV for Jeremy Harrell coming up next. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. And in the words of the potential Pope of Greenland, John Fetterman, good night, everybody. Bang gavel.